Joining us right now, our dear friend from LandryFootball.com. You hear him every single week on the program, spitting knowledge. It's Chris Landry. Hello, Chris.
How we doing, guys?
Fabulous.
Honest, Chris, we're good, but we're also a little hoarse and a little tired. We had the opening night of the Golden One Center out here for the Sacramento Kings last night. Long time running, trying to get this arena going. It was crazy. It was packed. It was a quick turnaround time for us. Not complaining, even though I really am, but you asked, I answered, so you're going to wake us up with football knowledge today.
Well, dude, I'm assuming it was a great time. I know that's always an exciting time of year, or exciting time when you can open up a new arena, so that's great.
Now, the NFL is happening this weekend. Obviously, we're just talking about what a great sports weekend it is, and we'll start right here locally with it. Now, we won't start with the Raiders. I'm going to ask you, I know you're aware of Lions and stuff like that kind of peripherally. Do the Niners have a chance against the bye this week, or will the bye ultimately prevail?
Well, let's hope they can get something done in the bye week. Hopefully, their extra work and time. I think that some need a little time off, but they need a lot of work. And, you know, I don't know that they can go find and improve that roster. In fact, I know they can at this point, but they got a lot of work to do. But, yeah, I like their chances this week.
I don't know. I think that injury bug could really come back to bite them this week, Chris. Oh, Chris, the Raiders are going to stay on the road. They're in Florida taking on the Buccaneers. And, you know, they're 5-0 on the road this season. I think they can move to 6-0. I just don't see a way that the Buccaneers are going to be able to handle that Raiders team.
Well, you know, Tampa's been real interesting in that they have lost some key components, that losing Vincent Jackson, Doug Martin. They don't have a lot of weapons. Winston is very capable of going on a hot stretch, but, you know, he's always good for a mistake or two. So I'm looking for this defense of the Raiders to play a little bit better and maybe cause some turnovers. I do think the Bucs defense, while solid, it's still very attackable for the Raiders. I agree with you. I think that they should play. This is a good matchup for them. I think it's a really good move, obviously, to stay out out in Florida and get ready. This is a good Raider team. I want to see more out of the defense. I want to see them get better. You got to win a game like this. If you're going to stay and have a chance to win the West, which they're going to be in that race all year long, I believe, you got to win a game like this against a team that you're better than even on the road.
And you talk about Jameis Winston and his, you know, inconsistencies, mm-hmm. ability to get hot just as his ability to get cold. I guess if you're a defense, is that just kind of a roll of the dice? You hope you get bad Jameis, or is there something you can do to kind of filter him towards bad decisions?
Well, you're really slow. If you can defend the run early, force him into difficult situations to throw the football in third and long, he'll force the football. He'll force it into coverage. So you've got to really do a good job staying on top of your routes and being patient. I think he's going to throw you some balls that are catchable. So I think you have to be patient. He is very capable. He's a high-risk, high-reward quarterback. He'll make some throws now that are very tough to fit in, and he'll fit them in, and all of a sudden you're down 14-17 nothing because he's made some big plays. So you really got to play good on the ball defense. You got to stay on top of routes, and if you can defend the run early and force them into third and longs, that's, to me, the formula to get this Bucs offense off its mark.
Chris Landry joining us on KHDK. A lot of pretty decent matchups going on this week, and the one I'm focused on, Chris, I am very excited. Browns and Jets. Can Cleveland get their one win this year hosting New York? Is it on the table at least?
Yeah, you know, a little teaser here, but uh-huh. You know, we break down all the games at LandryFootball.com in detail, and that's one of them that, yeah, I'm for no other reason than I think the Browns are going to win a game this year, maybe two, although that may be stretching it. I think that there's a good shot here. Makes a lot of sense. You know, the Jets are certainly the better team. Defensively, they could cause some problems for Cleveland. Look like Josh McCown is going to start. But, yeah, this is one of the games where I look at and say, if Cleveland plays as well as it has in this year, which have been in most of the games, they've got a really good shot to win this game.
Chris, I'm curious, when I look at the games, there's a number of games that I have my eyes on, but the Packers versus the Falcons to me is kind of an intriguing game because you have the Falcons overtime loss to the Chargers last week. The week before that, they lose to the Seahawks after a four-game winning streak. What do you see happening with that Falcons team right now? Are they just simply teams figuring them out right now?
Well, I think this offense of the Falcons is really good, and I think it's going to be good all year long. The problem or the issues are defensively. They're not generating enough pass rush, and they can't close games out. You kind of alluded to last week, San Diego. They got a 17-point lead, and they can't finish it out. I think a couple of things are at play. They've got to run the football better with the lead, and they've got to do a better job manufacturing a pass rush if they can't get one out of their base, which they've not been able to do. That's their vulnerability, which is why, you know, because they're so good on offense and they can move the football. They've got Julio Jones. They've got the backs out of the backfield they can throw the football to. They've got weapons. The offensive line is playing well. But defensively, they're vulnerable. That's why they're inconsistent and why for stretches they look like a really good team, including some stretches in games. If you can stay committed to the run against them, and you can throw the football effectively and get some big plays, you can always get back in the game against them. So, to me, that's what this Atlanta team is. Green Bay is trying to find themselves in their own right. The receivers are struggling to get off press coverage and get open for Aaron Rodgers. The protection hadn't been good. So, again, I think if Green Bay continues to struggle with the run game, make some mistakes, and I think Atlanta will capitalize. But if Green Bay can do a good job of getting the running game going, I think they can go on the road and beat Atlanta. So I look at Atlanta as a team that is still the favorite probably in the South, but, you know, I don't think they're a deep into the playoff type of team until they can figure out their defense, and I'm not quite sure that it's something that they can just figure out. They've got some holes personnel-wise.
Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com joining us. Hey, there was a game last night, and the Jags got crushed by the Titans.
If you want to call it that.
The stuff that they're putting out there, and you got this Jags team. I look at Blake Bortles' stat line, 337 yards, three scores, but his team was never in the game, and it seems like this is kind of him. There's a huge disconnect between the stat sheet and the product that's on film for him. What's missing?
A lot. You know, this team has been very, very, I wouldn't want to say inconsistent, but actually it's been pretty consistent in their struggles. They've not played well up front. They've not been able to establish the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball, which is surprising. They've got good receivers, but again, the protection has been an issue. Blake Bortles is forcing the ball under pressure, making tons of mistakes. And they're getting behind early often. So they have no balance. They have no ability to balance out their run game with their pass game. So they are playing from behind, and they're getting under a lot of rush pressure, and they're making a lot of mistakes. And defensively, they're giving up a lot of plays, a lot of big plays against some average offenses at times. I'm really concerned about this team. There were some expectations for it to have a much better season. The owner has been really patient. He went and he very rarely is in town, and he shows up in Jacksonville last week and speaks to the team, and they come out with this performance. Yes, it was a short week. It was on the road. But you're going to play a division opponent like that, that you probably have a little bit better personnel than. You've got to play better than they did last night. This is the team I worry about. That's a game I even tweeted out that, you know, that's the type of game and a performance that will get a coaching staff fired. So this, he's not, it looked like the owner is going to be patient. It's not a bye week or anything. So I think that we're going to have to watch that. If they don't perform better, I think Gus Bradley is in some trouble.
Yeah, and Chris, I mean, his record speaks for itself in his time in Jacksonville. So I'm wondering, I think back to a couple of years ago, like, say, when Mike Singletary coached the 49ers, there were a lot of really good players on that roster that just hadn't found the right coach. Then, of course, Harbaugh comes in, takes essentially the same roster, and makes it great. I don't know that that's where Jacksonville is, but I guess my question is, do you see it being a lot on the coaching, and if they get the right guy in there, they could have that turnaround?
Perhaps, but keep in mind that when he got the job, it was a bad roster. And under his work, along with the pretty good personnel staff, they've kind of built this roster, so maybe a little bit different in that, you know, he's had something to do with kind of getting it going and righting the ship. But listen, they're right now are underachieving. So to your point, they got to get it figured out, or somebody's going to be coaching that team next year at the very least.
Chris, I want to take a little bit of a detour. Brad Childress, the former Vikings coach, is under fire. Jeff Perlman has a book coming out about the Vikings. We were talking about this yesterday, claiming that Aaron Rodgers called Brett Favre grandpa the first time they met, and Rodgers vehemently denied that. Now, a former offensive lineman under Childress, Artis Hicks, says that the team had a bounty system back in 08-09, similar to the one that got Sean Payton suspended with the New Orleans Saints. You've been around football a long time. You've been around players a long time. Maybe not like the Saints, but is a sort of reward and or bounty system more common than we on the outside might think?
Used to be really common. And while it sounds sinister, a lot of it is, you know, very simple is, all right, who gets the biggest hit of the week on special teams? Boom, you know, you got a little money in a kitty and who gives that. That has been around for a long, long time. The league doesn't want it, obviously, in the modern era for a couple of reasons. One, main reason, when you're preaching safety, you can't have bounties. I mean, talk about being hypocritical. The second thing is you can't in any way, and this may sound juvenile, but you can't in any way increase, even though it's a couple of hundred bucks, and I know it, again, sounds silly, you can't increase the value of what you're paying a player.
Right.
For example, I don't know if you guys remember, Dick Vermeil got in trouble when he was caught on NFL films telling his kicker, hey, you make this one, baby, I got to, you know, Dick has this great, lives in wine country, and he says, I got a great bottle of wine for it. Well, you can't do that. And people say, oh, how silly. Well, it is silly, but you know how that works is if all of a sudden – you give a bonus to a player and, you know, you pay him a certain contract, but then you give him, a car or a beach house or something as actually bonus that it's circumventing the cap. So the league likes to make sure that they control it that way. And listen, I'm not a big fan of how the league does a lot of their work, but it's happened. It's happened a lot. The Packers were caught doing something around the same time that the Saints did. They caught him on it. They told him, stop it. They stopped it. Nothing was done. The problem that the Saints had was not what they did, is that they were warned four times and they still did it. That's just stupid. And that's why people in my state here still are aggravated because they think they were wrong. Well, they weren't wrong. The Saints and Sean Payton, who's a good friend, is very lucky. If I was running the league, he'd have been gone for more than a year. You know, if somebody tells you, your boss tells you the first time, you're probably going to stop it. The second time, you're really going to stop it. The third time, the fourth time, and you still do it. I think that's where, as it is normally the case, it's not the crime, it's the cover-up, it's the continue ignoring of that caused them a lot of trouble. But it's happened. I think it's less going to happen. It's less going to be an issue now because obviously, they're looking closely at it, and you got too many players and people that'll say something, particularly if they have a problem. You know, you got a player that gets released, they don't like a coach, they're going to say, yeah, we have a bounty system. You know, join the club. I think several years ago, probably most teams did something along those lines.
Chris, I'm sorry, but don't you think that the league is just continually finding ways to make themselves look like hypocrites? You talk about the fact that the Saints were warned four different times before something happened. That just kind of feeds into the theory that the commissioner is all about the owners and the teams instead of the players. And then you get guys that get in trouble for celebrating in the end zone. I just don't get that.
Well, and, you know, how about this recent situation with the Giants and Josh Brown? And, mm-hmm. and that is just, they do an awful job. And for a team that focuses on the PR and the optics of how things look, they've gotten it wrong time and time again. And, you know, it usually takes an embarrassing situation to make them realize that they've made a huge mistake. But the whole Josh Brown situation's bad. I think that the celebration, can get out of hand. I think they probably people make too much of it. But you know how that is. If you don't stop it, then where does it continue? You're going to have the next TO that wants to do this and that, and then it becomes. So I think they just decide let's stop it, nip it in the bud. So I kind of understand their part there, but I think greater emphasis should be put in other situations. But it's an example of, you know, I've always said that in Park Avenue right now, we've had a new era under Roger. Everybody in that office is a marketing business guy, and many of them, I don't know if people know this, many of their salaries are based mainly off of incentives. Incentives to make money for this and that marketing, which is great. You got to grow the business part of it, but there's very little football intelligence in making decisions that's better for the game itself. It's benefits the league, but the game itself is really poor. I think we got a problem now in the league just because we don't practice in the offseason. The quality of the product on the field is not very good because you can't get them better. People say you got to develop young players. How are you going to develop them? Can't practice. Can't practice during the season, you're limited. In the offseason, you can't do it. I think those things are real. And while it's even among all 32 teams, the overall quality is not very good, and I think that's contributing to some of the lack of interest and some of the, you know, the downfall in ratings. I think people are bored today. They've got a lot of things to do. I think millennials don't want to sit there and watch games when they can go on the iPad, go on their iPhone, do something else, watch a game, you know, watch a movie, whatever. I think the quality of the game itself, it's hard to develop from a football standpoint. As a guy that works in the football business, it's very difficult. The quality is not as good because you can't coach and develop it. The players are better and more athletic, but the coaching is better than it's ever been, but you don't have the time to develop players like you used to in the old days.
You know, and all those things you mentioned, Chris, kind of come back to a lot of the player safety initiatives that have been put in
sure.
over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, is there a way that the league, I mean, can you have player safety without degrading your product, or is this just a catch-22 for them?
No, I think you can. I think they're doing a lot of the right things. If you look at, you know, people talk about the targeting and whatnot, and particularly in college it's been bad, but if you, as I do and study the game, players are learning how to tackle better. Players are learning how to use their shoulder. I think we got into, you know, it's like in basketball. Guys didn't develop the touch, everything was above the rim, and the skill wasn't as good. Well, in football, everybody's been going for quote-unquote the kill shot, and this is the hypocrisy that, you know, Kay was talking about, that the league, they've always sold videos about the, you know, the violence of the game and how great it is, and then now they're trying to levy that out of the game, but yet they're trying to sell and promote it because of it. I think what's happened for years is guys didn't tackle very well. I think they were going for the kill shot. Now guys are learning how to tackle. If you really want to learn how to tackle, go to the old rugby style of how you tackle. Use your shoulders. I can tell you the Seahawks and a Pete Carroll probably do the best job of teaching it, of how to tackle safer, better. And by the way, you can tackle better if you tackle and not try to go for the kill / miss shot and just bring the guy down. I think you can do it, but I think you need more time to practice and develop it. The league doesn't want to do that. The NFLPA doesn't want to do it, I should say, because they feel like, you know, a guy getting hurt in the offseason is a bigger problem because, quote-unquote, there's no games. But in order to learn any craft, you've got to practice it. And I do believe that spending more time in pads and working in the off season, and then backing off, and then going back doing it again, and allowing for a little more time in training camp to do it. And by the way, here's the biggest thing. Listen, everybody, increase roster sizes, which mm-hmm. the owners don't want because it costs more money. you could do a lot better. You could do a lot better. If you put the roster sizes up to 75, increase the practice squad up by an extra 10 to 12 players, and I don't even want to get into what I would love to see is a little developmental league that's played, you know, about 6 or 8 games in the fall where you can bring guys up during the season. That would all be great things for the sport. But it costs money, and the league doesn't want to spend a dime. They want to figure out a way to make a dollar, and that's just the reality of it, and it's not going to change.
Chris, as usual, we have so much fun. We're way over our time limit.
I apologize.
No.
That's good stuff.
It was great. Before we let you go, though, please tell everybody what's going on at LandryFootball.com.
Well, as we do break down the game inside the film room, the college, the pro game, myself, the scouts that I utilize, and coaches around the league of college football and the NFL, 50% off using the code SEASONAL, $49.99 for a calendar year. If you want to just try us out for a month, the first month is $2, TWO. So check us out, a good way to get involved.
Chris, we always appreciate your time every Friday. We'll see you in a week.
Have a great weekend, guys.
All right, you take care. That is Chris Landry. As we said, we're way late for a break. Sam Amick coming up top of the hour next. We also have an Apple TV to give away and qualify you for that 65-inch home theater company, 4K TV. Nostra Dumbass coming up in the Bearcoat moment of the game. It is a packed last hour on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Don't go anywhere.